I think I will sing for 3 minutes, then everyone knows it starts, and you know, it should be seen. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, I am a little tired, and sure, when you see it, look at the world when you're tired, you see it like Ritasura before the end of all battles. I wanted to speak a little bit from the Srimad Bhagavatam today on the amazing pastimes of the battle which took place at the end of Satya Yuga. It was the battle to end all other battles. At least it was the hope. But because I'm a little bit tired, I will need a peaceful atmosphere. So, Radha Kriva, you're the daughter of a policeman. And if you want, you can be intense. Can you go in the kitchen and tell the devotees friendly, not intensely friendly, that they need to be like, you know, knowing that there is a lecture going on in the other place. Friendly, but clearly. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Krishna. Experience with what our young devotee says. He's sometimes merciful, but I like to hear from you. But would it be good if you are, if you have overcome the green shades behind your ear? In other words, sorry, you're a little older in spiritual life. When you think of Krishna and your relationship for Krishna, how is he? Is he doing something? How do you experience him? What is what is he doing to you? How is he? I want to become his devotee. I want to know from you what is your experience with Krishna. Yes.
He's by external and internal arrangements is forming our heart and bhakti can grow in there. So it's a good place for
bhakti. What a wonderful answer. By external arrangements and internal arrangements, he shapes our hearts in such a way that bhakti can grow in our heart. That is your experience. Yes.
Well, for me, the most amazing quality of Krishna is that somehow, although he's the greatest personality ever, that ever existed, that will ever exist, he chooses to ignore everything that is bad inside me and chooses just good. And somehow, I cannot imagine anyone else doing that. Like, he can see everything, he knows everything, and yet he chooses to see only good and somehow to accept that.
Here is another devotee who speaks. Although Krishna is the greatest of all personalities and sees everything which goes on in my heart, he chooses to only accept the good things. He leaves aside the bad things. That is your experience. It's also my experience. Any other?
I feel that he's compassionately making me slowly being, but I'm more attached to him.
Compassionately, he arranges things that I become more and more attached to him. Yes, young devotee.
Supply what we need to grow spiritually just in the right moment.
He supplies what we need to grow spiritually, and he does so just at the right moment. I experience one quality about which I want to speak today a little bit. I find he shatters my pride. He destroys my pride. I was very interested to study this particular quality of Krishna. Now, because there is a way the gopis address Krishna, as they say, Nija Jana Smaya Dvangsana Smita. By your smile, you shatter the false pride of your devotees. He does this smilingly, so that we know who is the person from whom this arrangement came. It's with a certain humor. He does this smilingly. In the Bhagavad, I want to tell you a particular story about this. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, often called Arjuna, his very dear devotee, Bhaktosi me, Priyosis me, Sakasi me, means you are my Bhakta, you are very dear to me, in fact, you are my friend. And he said, I'm giving you now confidential instructions because you are really so dear to me. So after Krishna had said this many, many times, Arjuna felt, I'm really Krishna's very dear devotee. He constantly says this. And he also thought, Krishna has taught me personally the Bhagavad Gita. He has not told it to Yudhishthira. He has not told it to Bhima. He has not told the Bhagavad Gita to anyone else than to Arjuna, his Sakha, his friend. So therefore I'm not only the greatest devotee, I'm also I'm also very knowledgeable. I'm a jnani. So it is said that ever Krishna sees that in the heart of his devotees some pride rises, that some feeling of I know it all, I made some substantial arrangement, that out of his mercy, with a smile on his face, he makes an arrangement that this false pride is taken away from him. So when Krishna looks at his devotees, he always studies their heart. He doesn't study what they wear, if they have a beard, or if they have no beard, if they smell nicely or bad, if they wear old cloth or no cloth, if they behave politically correct or incorrect. He just wants to see that in the heart of his devotees, are the devotees developing true bhakti for me? And this is only possible if the pride is destroyed. The scriptures say, between you and the Lord there is one mountain, and this mountain is made out of ego, aham mameti. And what Krishna does is, because he wants you to come to him, he destroys the mountain which is between you and him. He makes arrangements. And if you look back at your life as a devotee of Krishna, I'm now not speaking of the very new devotees, but the slightly older devotees, you will see how Krishna made arrangement in your lives to take away this mountain which is in between you and the Lord. He has reduced this. It was time for Krishna to make an arrangement for Arjuna, and he made a wonderful arrangement with a smile in his face. He's invited Arjuna to a nice chariot drive. I think here in this world we would invite our friend to come in our Volvo and we would drive down the coast of Split with our friend to have some discussion. So Krishna took Arjuna in his chariot and they drove to the banks of the river Jamuna. And then they were driving with the chariot when all of a sudden there was a dead man, and one jackal was sniffing at the body of the dead man. So Arjuna saw the jackal moving around the dead man and sniffing his limbs, and he began to analyze the scene. He said, very foolish, the jackal is very foolish. Why doesn't he eat quickly? Dead men are the food for jackals. If he doesn't feast now very quickly, soon the big dogs will come, chase him away, and then they will eat the organs and everything. If he does not eat now, this poor jackal will starve later. So Krishna noticed Arjuna using his analytical knowledge and immediately stopped the jackal and said, stopped the chariot and said, "Hey, Jambuka." Jambuka means jackal. Come, I want to speak to you. The jackal perked up his ears like one of the dogs here, and he came before Krishna. Krishna said, Jambuka, their bodies are the food of jackals. Why don't you eat? Tell us. The jackal answered, "Oh Lord, Arjuna, oh really, he speaks? Oh Lord, you are the Lord of all creatures. You know everything. There is a reason why I do not eat. Because I have also some anna. I'm smelling at the body of the dead man, if he is a devotee or not. And I will only eat the flesh of a devotee who has died, I have some anna in me. So I'm sniffing his head, if he has ever bowed down to you. Then I'm sniffing his legs, if he has ever gone on pilgrimage to visit your holy places of pilgrimage. If I see he has not bowed down to you, I am not inclined to eat. I see he has not gone on pilgrimage, I really don't want to eat. And I'm smelling his hands. If he has ever done some service for you, if he has never done any service, I think this is not fit. I am a jackal. I have not much dharma, but some anna I possess. I will only see someone as approachable who has done bhakti to you. So Krishna smiled and said, "Oh jackal, all glories to you. You are my bhakta." When Arjuna overheard this amazing discussion, he became amazed. This jackal has so much knowledge. I thought myself a great knowledgeable person, but the jackal is much more superior. Such a jnani he is, such a bhakti he is. So by bringing Krishna in contact with a great devotee, by bringing Arjuna in contact with a great devotee, Krishna with a smile crushed the false pride of Arjuna. My dear devotees, this happens also when we come to a summer camp. For some time, our ego begins to revolt, and we think, this is not, the devotees are not good. Or we go to the Ratha Yatra and we say, nothing is good here. They don't know how to preach to a postmodern time. They come like an army of Vikings into a town of culture. And we have to study. These devotees know nothing. And so on. We have a discussion with someone. I know ISKCON is still the same. And look at this lecture, impossible. And this Swami has learned nothing. You know it? And so on. And then all of a sudden, and as we feel more miserable and more wrong at the place, more disabled to simply throw everything away and chant and dance, we feel not very good. And we feel something is wrong here. And if we are honest, we will start to think, maybe I'm also a little wrong. Maybe, just theoretically. And then this way, deep soul-searching process goes on. And Krishna smashes our false ego, the mountain of ego, which always builds up again. It's an organic mountain. If we can just once bring it down, then it comes again, like the nail, you know. It always grows after some time. So this is Krishna's quality. He takes away the pride of his own people. He does this. He takes care of them. I mean, yes, we have to change our movement. We have to become better. Yes, I have to become a better lecturer and a better devotee and so on. This is all true. But what is also true is that you have to chant and dance and listen to the Bhagavatam with tears of devotion in your eyes. Your relationship to Krishna has to be not theoretical but practical. And then this way Krishna does show us with a smile in his face. Sometimes it's a twinkle in the eye. My dear devotees, it's time to spiritually grow. It is time to become advanced. Now this happened to Indra. As you remember, Indra was the leader of the Devatas. In the Rig Veda, he's known as the slayer of the evil Vritasura. After he had tried in one battle to defeat Vritasura, he saw it's not possible on my own. Vritasura had just grown and grown like the darkness grows more and more. In the evening, you see how the darkness grows. So Vritasura had finally covered the whole universe with his influence. And when the Devatas had attacked him, he had just opened his mouth and then and swallowed all the weapons. So Indra had asked for a weapon to confront this demon. And what is his name? Yes, Lord Narayan had told him he should make a weapon from the bones of Dadichi. And then this Raja was made. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of all weapons, I'm that Raja, a divine weapon empowered by Lord Vishnu. And Indra was now ready to confront the evil Vritasura. He rode on the battlefield. Saints were around him and praised him. There were flowers showered on him. The demigods looked like light, and they came to the banks of the Narmada River and they took formation. Then they looked. They saw the other battlefront, the battlefront of darkness, taking formation. There were great, great demons on Vritasura's army. I've written some of the names down so that you know it was really a powerful, it was a really thing. Battle. There was a general called Namuchi, surrounded by his army. Namuchi means one who never lets go. When Namuchi would fight with anyone, he would just sink his teeth into him like a dog and never let go of him and finally finish him. There was Shambhara, who later was killed by Pradyumna. There was Dvimurta. Dvimurta had two heads. Therefore, he was very happy always in battle, because if one head was cut off, there was still a second, no problem. He continued to fight. And they all assembled and they waited, and then on one signal and a big roar, they took all their efforts, not one by one, but all their efforts, and threw them at the demigods. It was like a never had the universe seen so much battle weapons, so much bombs coming, and so much. Some weapons were screaming in the sky. They were empowered with demon magic. They came and I'm becoming afraid of my seat and want to flee. It was very intense, like dense clouds. However, the devatas reacted very quickly. Before the shower of weapons could reach them, they cut the weapons, when they were still flying in the sky, into thousands of pieces with their own arrows. The demons, however, were not discouraged. They took mountain peaks, huge trees, stones, and threw them in one big, it was like a monsoon rain. But again the devatas took their divine weapons and broke all the natural weapons into pieces. When the asuras saw that all their weapons failed, they ran away from the battlefield. They said, "This is too much. This is we can't tolerate this." At this moment, this is the first time where Vitasura appears. He jumped forward to his soldiers and shouted, "Stop!" And he said, "All of us have to die. There are two deaths which are all right. The death of the bad is not all right. When you are in ignorance and when you are weak and so on, either you die on the battlefield or you die while you practice bhakti yoga." The demon said, what is he saying? Bhakti yoga? Krishna consciousness?" They said to Vritasura, "Your philosophy is amazing today, Vritta, but we prefer to run." And they were running. Now the devatas saw this as their opportunity, and they started to run behind the demons, which is totally beyond all the rules of martial combat. You can never attack a person from the back who runs the battlefield. You know, at the beginning of the Kurukshetra war, there was one herald who read with loud voice, "Dear soldiers on both sides, these are the rules for this fight. Never attack a fleeing enemy or an enemy who is full of fear in his heart." Vritasura began to shout at the devatas. He said, "You devatas, you are supposed to worship the Supreme Lord, and you are supposed to keep the principles of the Lord. Any person who is fearful or runs away, he's like your child and he needs to be protected by you. Why have you forgotten everything? You are not like the sons of your mothers, you are like the urine of your fathers." Someone calls you urine. This is not a small thing. I don't know if they say this in Serbia also to each other. Maybe, isn't it? It's a major insult, you know, this, but devatas. So So this was a strong lesson. I must. I'm jumping ahead. Don't run. And you devata, stop. Vritasura was so angry that his voice became so strong that all the living entities fainted. He was striking his thighs with his hands, and he sounded like rolling thunder. When the devatas heard the voice of Vrita, they fainted and fell from their chariots. Vrita became more angry. He thought, only one of you is standing still. Who is this? Indra, insignificant Indra. Come on, let us fight. And he grew, and he began to charge at Indra, who was looking at him with mouth open. And he came to the devatas, who were lying on the ground, and he trampled on them just like an elephant tramples on hollow bamboo, says the Bhagavatam. This is very enigmatic. It is mysterious. When an elephant tramples on hollow bamboo, it doesn't crush or splinter the bamboo. It just tramples on them. So Vritasura moved very carefully amongst the devatas. He didn't want to kill them. He just wanted to show his indignation and his hate, his feeling of you have acted unfairly. Only Indra was looking at this being and remained standing. Then Vrita saw him and took steps which covered a mile. He walked towards Indra. Who is this person? Thought Indra. He collected all his strength, took a club and hurled it around. Then he let go of the club, which sped like a bullet towards Vritasura. And you know what Vritasura did? He just captured it with his left hand. It's the right hand. The left hand, the club was coming. He spinned around and then he threw it at Indra, carrier Airavata, whose head was splitting in pain, and he was pushed back for 10 bow lengths. Indra tried to remain on the elephant, but then he fell on the ground and was lying almost dead on the ground. Imagine, this is something like if someone shoots at you in a duel or something. I think in Zagreb they do duels amongst devotees. Imagine the bullet comes and you take the bullet and you spin around and then throw the bullet back. It is a feat. Or you can say, bravo, bravo, bravo. You know duels? People come because of ego and they confront each other. You said this, you said that. They shoot at each other. So this was a very powerful being. But Vrita thought to himself, I don't want to kill this Indra. I just want to shatter his pride, because he will have to kill me. But he can only do it when he is free from pride. Only if he becomes an instrument in my Lord's hand, he can do what my Lord wants. that is to take me away from this world so that I can go back. So when Indra came up, he looked at Vritasura. And he didn't know what to do. Vritasura said, "Don't you want to take care of your elephant thing first?" Still in shock, Indra walked over to Airavata, who was crying in pain. And he took his hand and he put it on the head. Now Indra's hand produces nectar, my dear Lois. Our hand produces sweat, but Indra's hand, no sweat, just nectar. And he healed immediately the head of Airavata, who stood up as if nothing had happened. And they stood for a long time before Vritasura, who studied them. Then Vritasura began to speak to Indra. And the reason why I do this, why I try to paint the picture before you, is because it will show you how a real devotee feels inside. Somehow the Bhagavatam has put this katha in the end of the sixth canto, that's in the middle, because it wants to teach us an amazing lesson that a devotee needs to become free from pride. And another is that is the lesson for Indra, and another lesson is that you need to practice entirely dependence on Krishna. He said, "Indra, you see, I could kill you very easily, but this battle could take a completely different turn. I must tell you, it is not my desire to be victorious in this battle. Take now this Vajra, which is empowered by Lord Vishnu and the austerities of the great sage Dadichi, and kill me. I see you used your club. You did not use the instrument which Vishnu gave you because you don't have trust in the Lord. But do not doubt. Lord Vishnu is on your side. I am destined to die through your hands. Victory, opulence, and all good qualities are now on your side. I want to go back to Godhead, Indra, but I have a great problem in my heart. I'm still attached to this world with the ropes of material attachment. By the divine force of the thunderbolt which is in your hand, this big enemy of mine, my attachment to this world, will be cut." Indra said, "Wow, you speak like a devotee. You actually want that I become victorious and enjoy the heaven, and you yourself want to go back to Godhead. I must tell you, my desire to attain a position here in this world is very, very poor and low. But your desire to go back home, back to Godhead, is very high. I am like a person who wants to drink the foul ditch water in which small fishes swim. whereas you want to drink the ocean of nectar. I have a question to you. Are you not afraid of the pain which will happen when I throw the vraja and it kills you? Vitasura said, no, this is a small problem. I will not feel any pain. I will fix my mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord, and in this way I will attain the destination of such great sages as Narada Muni. This was personally told to me by Narada Muni. My fortune will further be that I will receive the dust from the lotus feet of great devotees like Narada. I want to stop here a little. My dear devotees, I have often asked you the question, do you want to be right or do you want to have blessings? What is more important for you? When you are in a conflict, do you want that your side wins and that your perspective and opinion on a certain conflicting theme is victorious? Or do you want to act like a humble Vaishnava who prays to everyone, even your enemy, that they are going forward in their spiritual path and can meet the Lord? What is more important? Do you want to have your right or do you want to have blessings? As I said yesterday, in the Bhagavatam, the roles are reversed. That person is no longer the big person who is the king of the demigods, the army of light. That person becomes a greater devotee who wants to give up this world, this false dream of illusory existence, and who wants to again come into the presence of Krishna, who wants to go back to Godhead, who wants to make his mission not here in this world, but who wants to fulfill his mission in the higher world. Prabhupada comments on this. Vritasura was certain that he would be killed in the battle with Indra, because this was the desire of Lord Vishnu. He was prepared for death because he knew that after his death he was destined to return home back to Godhead. This is a great destination, and it is achieved by the grace of a Vaishnava. No one has ever gone back to Godhead without being favored and blessed by a Vaishnava. Prabhupada further says, but Indra was feeling, oh no, I want to win just this battle so that I'm the Lord of this universe, that I'm the Lord of, and then he wants to go back to Godhead. My God. Prabhupada says, by killing Vritasura, this becomes clear to Indra, Indra would not actually gain, he would remain in the material world. Vritasura, however, would go to the spiritual world. Therefore, victory was destined for Vritasura, not for Indra. My dear devotees, if you want to go back to Godhead, if you want to take this movement serious, you have to turn your face away from the material world. You have to turn your face away from attachments to position and fame and success. You have to learn that you become an akinchana, someone who does not own anything in this world, who does not want anything in this world, who is free. I was a little bit talking with one devotee, I wanted to ask the devotee for an opinion. I'm at the moment thinking, what can we do to spread Krishna consciousness very effectively? And I have various plans. So I thought it would be nice if we find another George Harrison, someone who is very influential in the society, and who probably who brings out an amazing Hare Krishna Ma mantra, and then all the young people sing Hare Krishna as the favorite song. I was thinking like this. So then I was remembering, 2 weeks ago, my friend celebrated with his friend the 60th birthday of this friend. So this friend is a very rich owner of a bank, many banks. And when he was young, he had to decide, will I become a rock star or will I become a money star? So he decided, rock star is insecure because one day they like you, the other day they don't like you. I will become a banker. And he became a banker. But when he celebrated his 60th birthday, he invited Mick Jagger to sing. Mick Jagger is an entertainer. Now, for the old men amongst us, they know him from Rolling Stones men. He was the friend of this banker. So they celebrated birthday, and Mick Jagger sang, had a little music box like this, and then he with the soundtrack, not with this tabura. And then he sang his evergreens. And at the end he said, I came for your birthday, but you must know I'm Mick Jagger. And this cost 4 million euros. You know, it's very cheap for you. I thought we were friends. We are friends, but we are also having our life. We have to maintain ourselves, you know. And then this devotee said to me, see, Mick Jagger is now an old man. He's very rich. When he just makes, it's 4 million euros, you know. But this shows that he's not yet satisfied in his heart. He still has so many material plans and desires and needs money for them. Because no matter what you do in your life, you will keep a hole in your heart. It's a God-shaped hole. And only when you put the Lord in this hole will the hole stop to devour material things. It's like, how do they call it in the universe? The dark hole? Or what is it? The
black matter.
Black magic? What?
Black hole.
What is black hole is galaxies are devoured by it. No? It's every planets are going into it. It's always hungry. So your heart will remain a black hole. If you do not learn to put a
with a flute.
The Lord with a flute in the heart. You will remain empty-hearted, and you will want to have more and more visha, Ananda Gopal, more, and never be satisfied. And my devotee friend said, he has expressed it in a song, I cannot obtain enough satisfaction in life. There is such a song that's available. So Indra, at this moment, sees he has still the dark hole in his heart, although he's the lord of the demigods. Whereas Vritasura only wants Krishna, and he has turned away from everything in this world. So the more Vritasura speaks to Indra, please, throw the weapon as our Lord has ordained it, the more Indra begins to hesitate. How can I kill him? He's a pure devotee, he's a Vaishnava. Or the second was, he might catch the Raja also, like he has done with the clock, taken it out of the air. He might take the Raja also and then throw it at me. He has no faith in the weapon of... at the end, after begging Indra in many ways, Virta sees it's useless and he decides to turn directly to the Lord. When he is on the battlefield and he turns to the Lord, all of a sudden he sees the form of the Lord, Vritasura, before him. And he is ecstatic and begins to pray four extraordinary prayers of pure spiritual love. Anyone who hears these prayers is entering the path of real bhakti. I will not tell you the prayers here, but in my next class, I think it is on Friday, but they are very, very powerful. When I was once in a situation of life and death, I chanted this first of the four prayers. Aham tavitava talaham tavisa.
Oops.
Aham hare pa. Oh, I don't know it now. Aham hare tava padai kamula. And it saved my life. It's a very powerful secret of the Bhagavatam, these mantras. He says, basically, Indra will not kill me, my Lord, but I want to go back to Godhead. So you have to come now personally and take me from this battlefield. I want to end here and not talk more, but I wanted to just bring it to the point. See, when the Lord works at this moment at Indra by removing his pride and being a great devotee, and by fetching him and taking him home, back to God. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki Mahabhagavat Vrita ki Vitra. This is I just want to do one small kirtan, a very small, same melody, and I would like you to think about this subject matter about going back home, back to Godhead. Are you still remembering this desire in you? Are you sometimes aware that the real solace and medicine of your existential dilemmas are when you are with Krishna? So the next part of this Amrita Surya Katha, which is really, really very amazing and very eye-opening about the ultimate goal of human life. The next part of it is, I believe, Friday, is that?
Tomorrow.
Then we will hear the amazing result of this glorious and very, very special life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.